So be praying about that. Be preparing for that. We need you here that night. And I'm just going to ask the Lord this year that one of these families that come through will just feel something, feel drawn, and through maybe your smile, maybe through your ministry, who knows the secret things of the Lord, that they'll check us out the following Sunday, and then we can take them through our connection program. Yes, sir. Do you mind using the microphone for the live stream? Come on. All right.
I'm just calling her Tootie, but her name is Julie. But anyway, when she, I believe it was Saturday morning, she sent a message on Facebook or whatever, ever how she sends it. But anyhow, but she sent a picture of her singing, Skylar singing, playing the guitar, and they were singing the song together. And when we got that message and saw that message, saw that on Facebook, I started praising the Lord and started shouting, and I carried the phone down there to Julia, and she started praising God and started shouting and thanking the Lord. And she told us, Tootie told us when Skylar took the guitar and started playing, or tried to play, he couldn't play to start with. And she took the oil out, anointed him with oil, and prayed over him. She started praying in tongues.
Come on
up here, baby. I got to bring my spokesman up.
Pray for him. Anyway, Skylar was struggling with the guitar to begin with. Couldn't play. And so she took her anointing oil out and anointed him with that oil. And she said, honey, she said, I know, you know, you don't believe in tongues. She said, but speaking in tongues has kept me these days. Praying in the spirit has kept that young'un, kept her, strengthened her, and strengthened us, because we know that. And she said, and she told him that, and he said, I know. This Baptist boy, I know. And when she anointed him with that oil and went to praying in the spirit, he went to playing the guitar and sung that song. God is good. And it's so powerful to have the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I don't want to live this life without the Holy Ghost. He's a treasure to behold.
Yes.
If you don't have the Holy Ghost,
yes,
you're missing it.
Amen.
You're missing out on what God wants you to have.
Amen.
That's exactly what I want to say.
All right. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise for the Holy Ghost. For the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're not better than other people. We just have an experience that is from the Bible that's real. It's called Pentecost. And it's called the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. And I do want to speak a word over Skylar and Julia. He that began a good work will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. He's began a good work, and he will complete it in his life. And we're looking forward to him coming back and testifying in person. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight I want to finish a sermon series that I began called Beyond Blessed, where we're looking at 8 Bible benedictions. And so tonight is the fireworks, the picture tonight as the final minutes of the 4th of July fireworks, where they start out and you see them and wow, and then the finale. You know what I mean by the finale, where it's just boom, 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 and everybody just leaves on a high note. So I want us to leave tonight on a high note of the Bible benedictions. Would you stand tonight? The book of Jude, the 24th verse. This is the high note, the finale, and we're going to read. Will you receive the benediction? Read with me and proclaim with me, now unto him that is, read it together with me out loud. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen and amen. We receive, Lord, the benediction in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. As you're being seated, tell somebody you're blessed tonight. Amen. So this is the final message. And by way of reminder, what is a benediction? A benediction, quite simply, is a word of blessing. An imparted word of blessing. Not just good words, but words that have impact. Words that have power. And benediction is spoken at the conclusion of a thought or of a letter or of a gathering. And they are found all throughout the word of the Lord. You will, as you begin to read your Bible through, you'll pick up on those little benedictions and you'll remember these messages. Now, just by way of reminder, in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, we talked about the benediction of favor. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Then we moved over to the book of Romans, chapter 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That is the benediction of hope. Thank the Lord that in this day we have hope. Say amen tonight. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, the benediction of the Trinity, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Thank God for the Trinity. And then in Galatians chapter 6, verse 18, it speaks of the benediction of grace. Read that with me if you've got it up here. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. And then there was in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23, the benediction of peace. After he said, put on the whole armor of God and fight that warfare, he says, you're not fighting for peace, you're fighting from peace. Ephesians 6 and 23, peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, the benediction of integrity. Because the God of peace himself will sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless unto the coming of our Lord. He who has called you is faithful. He will surely do it. Oh, I am beyond blessed tonight. And then last week, the benediction of empowerment. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, one of the great ones. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And with all of these, how can we not say that we are beyond blessed? Can you say amen? Speak those over your life. The benediction is a word that blesses. The word Benny means benefit, where we get the word benefit. The word diction, dictionary, where we get the word dictation. And please note that benedictions are not just good words. They are words with power. They are words that give direction, words that give theology, words that give hope. In fact, one commentator said that these benedictions, listen to this, infuse God's favor and infuse God's help. All scripture is given by God. God breathed and inspired. But these benedictions are a rock and an anchor, and they will carry us through the times that we live in. And so take these eight benedictions, put them somewhere, and I had promised to give them to you, and I'm going to give them to you, and I will get those up for you so you can put them in your refrigerator. But we are blessed and highly favored of God. He has spoken his word to us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can speak authority in the name of Jesus. We can take authority over the devil. We can wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and I am beyond blessed. If you're beyond blessed tonight, give him praise. If you're beyond blessed tonight, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we come to the last one of this series, which is the book of Jude, or the letter of Jude. And let me give you the backdrop of Jude. This is a powerful letter tucked under the shadow of the mighty book of Revelation. Jude was one of the physical brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus had brothers, physical, blood brothers, half brothers, and Jude was one of them. and he is writing an urgent. And I want you to keep your Bible open and have the book of Jude in front of you, because I want you to kind of glance, and Brother Blue is doing a phenomenal job, but he may not be able to keep up with all of the scriptures that I have to give you tonight. So if you'll just have it where you can look down as I reference parts of the book of, or the letter of Jude. But he was writing this letter as an urgent and a strong warning to the believers against false doctrine. Can I tell you tonight that we still need an urgent and a strong warning against false doctrine? Can I tell you it matters what you believe? It matters truth. People say, well, that is not my truth, or I don't see it that way. Can I tell you it's not your truth anyway? It is the truth, the way, and the life. It is not up for debate. We may have differences of opinion on some interpretations of the minor issues that do not pertain to eternity, life, or death. But when it comes to heaven and hell, when it comes to God Almighty, the Trinity, when it comes to Scripture, when it comes to the Word of God, it is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And Jude was writing that we should earnestly contend for the faith as a pastor and as a believer. We are to have an argument, and I don't mean argument in the negative way, but we are to be convincingly, have a convincing way of saying, hey, this is error, but this is truth. I don't care what they say on Dr. Phil. I don't care what they say in the Senate hearings. I don't care. The truth is what, not what you think or not what you feel. The truth is what the Lord says. Thank God for the truth. If all truth is relevant, everybody says that, but in theory, they don't really believe it. How do you know? When somebody comes up and says, well, your truth is your truth and my truth is, I would love for them to work for me. Because if I employed them to cut my grass and trim the hedges and blow the leaves, and they are expecting $250, I would probably write them a check for $25. Well, I thought you said $250. Well, that's your version of the truth. My version of the truth is 25 equals 250. And I'm not born a man. I'm born something else. And so I have an identity. But the truth is, you've either a man or a woman. It's where we get into these grays. That's not being impolite. That's saying the truth. Your freedom comes from the truth. If you were born a woman, the truth is God had a plan for you, and it included the beautiful gift of being a woman. There's nothing wrong with being a woman. Nothing wrong. A man is a wonderful thing at being a man, but a man trying to be a woman is terrible. A woman does a great job at being a woman, but when a woman tries to be a man, it's not truth. Truth is falling into hard times, and don't listen to fake news, and don't listen to some philosopher, and read some book that laughs at us and talk. All of that is not true. There is only one truth. You say, well, how do you know your truth is the truth? Because of the empty tomb. Because Jesus rose from the dead. That declared forever that we're not just believing some man who had some ideas. We're believing on the Son of the living God. Thus saith the Lord. If he said it, he meant it. And we are beyond blessed. See, look at verse 3. He was telling them to contend earnestly for the faith. He had to write about look at verse 4, Jude 4. He was writing about ungodly men who have crept in unnoticed. He was writing about, in verses 5 through 6, a reminder of God's righteous condemnation in times past. Verses 8 through 16, you can just glance there. He talked about the depravity of ungodly dreamers. And then in verses 17 through 23, he talks about how that they can keep themselves from stumbling. And one might think that these were unpleasant topics, and this was an unpleasant task, and that when you read the first 23 verses of that letter, you might get a little depressed. You might get a little downcast. You might think, man, there's some tough times out there. And that's when, out of nowhere, boom, he doesn't leave you with bad news. He doesn't leave you with how the apostates are getting the upper hand. He doesn't leave you with telling you how terrible things are. He leaves you with a benediction. Glory to God. And it's the mother of all benedictions. And he sums up with all this. He's written about evil people. He's written about tough times. He's written about fallen angels and demons. But before he closes that letter out, he says, now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, be glory and honor and dominion. I know things are tough. I know things are rough. But I'm here to tell you, God is on the throne tonight. And we can have assurance. We are beyond blessed because of the favor of God. Give him another hand of praise here tonight. Amen. I'm struggling with my own inward failures. But you're beyond blessed. I'm struggling with the world of wickedness, but we're beyond blessed. And tonight's benediction is called the benediction of assurance. Say assurance. Assurance. Peace of mind. Laying my head on my pillow, not sure how things are going to work out, but I have assurance that it's all going to work out. And I want to give you three things tonight. Number one, we can be assured in our daily walk. Somebody say daily walk. Go to the 24th verse. What's the first word? Turn around and tell somebody what that first word is. There's something powerful there. Thank God for yesterday. I praise God for the future. We're going to talk about future in point two. But right now, I need his touch. Right now, I need assurance. Right in this moment, up to the minute, on time, somebody shout the word now. Thank God for the past. Thank God for yesterday. Thank God for glorious revivals and glorious victories back yonder. But I need God now. He said now unto him. Now. The book of Hebrews says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We live in the now. Thank God for the sweet by and by, but there's the nasty now and now. Now he's here. Now he's answering prayer. Now he's on the throne. Now he's my ever-present help in the time of need. Now he's my provider. A right now God in this moment, in this hour, going out by live stream, walking up and down these aisles. Now he's my everything. Now he is my God. Right now. Before the operation. Before the bankruptcy. Before the failure. Right now. God is Almighty God. Do you believe he's here right now? We face difficulties now. We face false teachers, Jude tells us. We face trials. But we are beyond blessed. These blessings are for the moment, and you can be assured that in your now, this moment, when you get up tomorrow, guess what? It'll be now, won't it? Next week, when you're facing something, now. Somebody say the word now. Right now. You see, I know the pastor's on vacation, and I know that sometimes we need pastoral prayer and pastoral counseling, and we dial up and we call our pastor, and but every now and then we can't reach the pastor for various reasons. Maybe the pastor may be in a meeting that he can't break away from, or maybe the pastor's out of cell phone coverage, or for whatever reason, you can't reach a deacon. Maybe the deacons are not available. But I'm going to tell you something. You can call on God right now. This minute. Well, I'm believing for my breakthrough. I'm believing. I want you to know right now you can have a breakthrough. You do not have to leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick, or lame. The Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave. Why? Right now at this altar. In the moment, he is the God of right now. Thank God he didn't just leave things be. Sometimes he seems 1,000 miles away, but the songwriter said Jesus is just as close as the mention of his name. He is here now. If you believe it, give him a hand of praise for your assurance in your daily walk. And then number two, we can be assured not only in our daily walk, but we are beyond blessed because we can be assured in our future appointment. The Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die. Go back to verse 24. Now unto him that is what? Able. Somebody say able. To keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy. I've got a future appointment to stand before God, to give an account of my life. And according to this scripture, Jude is encouraging us that God is going to carry us through until the very end. Somebody say amen. Now, this is a doctrine. If you want to write this down, the doctrine of the preservation of the saints. It's an old doctrine. The Reformers discovered it. And it says basically the preservation of the saints, that the person that God saves is the person that God will keep saved until the very end. Oh, are you with me here tonight? Oh, I'm trying to get saved. No. You're not trying to get saved. You either is or you ain't. You are saved. You don't get in and out. You're saved and God keeps you saved. Now I know what you're thinking and I'm getting ready to hit it here. So you just hang tight for a moment and let's rejoice in this, that the God that saves me is the God that's going to keep me saved. And when I stand before the Lord, I'm not going to pound my chest and say, look how many prayers I prayed. Look how many meals I fasted. I know I made it to heaven because me and you, God, had a good thing going. No, sir. When you get before his presence, you'll cast your crown down and say, it was all God and nothing of me. Somebody praise him for the preservation of the saints. He'll save you and keep you saved. I said he'll save you and keep you saved. Now, this doctrine has also been misused and abused. There have some who have extrapolated and made this doctrine to mean something it never meant. Let me tell you what this doctrine does not mean. It does not mean you can't lose your salvation. It does not mean that we have unconditional eternal security. It does not mean that you can sin and never repent, and just because you were saved when you were 12, everything's fine. That's not what this doctrine means. It does not mean once saved, always saved, as some have said in other places, who we respect and love, but we respect and lovingly disagree, because this is a terrible, terrible abuse of the doctrine of the preservation of the saints. In fact, if you'll go back to read the very epistle that you pull this from, you will see very clearly that he's talking about apostates. Who were apostates? Apostates were those who had gotten saved and born again, and through corruption and through deception and through sin, they decided to abandon repentance, and they decided to teach this doctrine that you can sin when you want to. It doesn't matter because I was saved and I can just go to heaven. And they became apostates. They began to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Well, if God will forgive me, then I don't need to ask for forgiveness. I can live any way I want. That is the very thing that Jude is preaching about in this epistle. Please understand that Jude is here to set the record straight. Listen, salvation is the operation of God. Say amen. All of God, say amen. Faith alone, grace alone, scripture alone, the Reformation, Martin Luther, not through the Catholic priest, not through tormenting your body, not through banging your head on a wall and trying to earn your righteousness. Salvation is a free gift, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is God's gift. It is the operation of God. Say amen. But it also takes the cooperation of us. Not to earn our salvation. No, sir. Not even to keep our salvation, but to ensure our salvation. Or to assure our salvation. What do you mean, Pastor? I don't quite understand. Well, go back to Jude. He tells us, not only is salvation the operation of man, but you've got to have the operation of God, but you've got to have the operation and cooperation of our Christian faith. Go back to verse 17. He says, this is how you do it. He said here that remember the words which we have spoken. In other words, we need to remember those words and read the word. We need to go to verse 20. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Spirit. Verse 21, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal day. So he's given you practical things. Let me tell you something. When you get saved, just like medicine, just like food, you have daily, somebody say the word daily. I just preached on now. I just preached on God in your daily walk. But if you do not, any baby that is born out of a mother's womb, and that baby can be 9 pounds, 6 ounces, can be healthy, and the heart functioning and the lungs functioning, and the baby gives it over to the doctor gives it back to the mother and says, it's all yours, it's your baby. But I'm going to tell you something. That baby is not fed, if that baby is not nourished, if that baby does not have food and sustenance, that baby will die. And the Bible tells us that as newborn babes, when we are born again, when we give our life to God, when we start afresh, when we renew our commitment to God, we are like babies. And I don't have the scriptural reference. Perhaps Brother Philip could find it for me. Thank you. Put you on the spot. But it says, as newborn babes, you are to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. As new believers, as new Christians, every day it is important that you listen to Christian music, that you cut off negative television. And I'm not preaching against things and, you know, this strict legalism. I'm just telling you, take the negative things out of your life and replace it with positive Christian music. Read the scriptures every single day. Make sure you're in church so that the believers can strengthen you. But let me because why? The devil is going to fight you tooth and toenail. Everything he can throw at you, he's going to do. And you need medicine. What if I went to the doctor and he said, take 2 pills a day and your problem will go away. And if I didn't take those pills, I'd be wound up with a problem and a bill. I want you to know that we got to cooperate with God. Oh, he's willing. He's able. Now unto him that's able. But I've got to kneel down and pray. I've got to open up the old black book. I've got to watch Christian television. I got to feed my faith and starve my doubts. I've got to fellowship with other people and get strength from one another. I've got to cooperate because God is doing a work in my life. And I'm going to make it. Not because I'm so good or because I'm so holy, but because I'm saying, Lord, I'm yours. I can't do it on my own. I'm quick to fail. Thoughts hit my mind. I work hard, but I need your touch. I need your favor. I need the benediction of assurance. Somebody give him a hand of praise. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. And by the way, I'm talking about new Christians, but can I tell you, I'm also talking about all Christians. You said old, didn't you? All Christians. I am an ordained preacher of the gospel. I boast not in it. I humbly stand in amazement that God would ever call me and used me to preach his gospel. If you're talking about somebody being unworthy, you're looking at one of the most unworthy people right now. I cannot boast. I need his grace. And I'm amazed when I pastored for 20 years and I thought, well, I'll have nowhere to preach because I'm not pastoring the church. Who would even want me to preach? And I remember before my last Sunday, I already had the next Sunday filled. Preacher called me up and said, preach. Then the next Sunday. Then the next. The reason I'm saying that is because I had to go back to my calendar in 2015 and look at some things. And I remember seeing that Sunday preaching here, Sunday preaching there, Sunday preaching there. And I'm like, Lord, it's you. It's not me. But I'm telling you, although I'm ordained, although I've preached for 20 years, I'm telling you that if I don't read my Bible and if I don't have a prayer life and if I don't fellowship, I promise you, I'll find myself straying. And the devil, guess what he's going to do? He's going to jump right in there with a good old temptation. And then I'm going to succumb to it. And then the devil's going to throw all over me about how bad I am. And then if I don't turn around and ask God to forgive me, I'm just going to go worse and worse and worse until finally it's not that God has taken my salvation. It's that I've unhitched from the train. Amen. You see, we believe in God's will to save you, but we believe in man's will to be saved. Amen. But let me tell you, cooperate with God. Get in covenant with somebody. Ask somebody to help you, to call once a day, to be a part, to make sure that when we get discouraged, when we mess up. You see, we get discouraged. We go to work and we go to a great service like we've had today, and we'll go to work tomorrow and everything will be thrown at you. You know, that's not an accident that happens. And what is that? That is the trials of life. Have we got that scripture there, my brother? 2 Peter 2:2. If you can just put that, but read it out loud, everybody. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Let me tell you something, that God will be faithful with us to the end. Say that with me. God will be faithful with us to the end. I want to tell you that in my best preaching and in my best praying and in my best Bible study, I'm still going to mess up. I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. I'm going to think something I shouldn't think. Because why? I am human. So we cannot boast. Not any of us. In fact, Romans chapter 3 and verse 27 says, where is boasting? It is excluded. I don't care how much. I'm telling you that you do these things to stay saved. But I promise you, you cannot get to God. And I'm going to start where I'm going to get back to where I started. You cannot get to God and say, hey, I prayed and I stayed faithful and I quoted scriptures and I won souls. Let me tell you, he is the one that will present us faultless, not us. It's all, we can't have pride. None of us can have pride. You don't know what you'll face tomorrow. We hadn't got our foot into gold dust yet. We still have our feet in this world, and we don't need to have pride when we are obeying the Lord, and neither do we need to have fear when we stray and we need God's grace. We need to totally rely on the benediction of assurance. Can you lift your hand and thank him that it's all about him? Will you receive the benediction? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Before I said present you faultless. It didn't say he was going to present us sinless. Oh, he's going to present us faultless in the presence of his glory. Let me read this out of the message. Now unto him who can keep you on, listen to this. Now unto him who can keep you on your feet, standing tall in his bright presence, fresh and celebrating. Aren't you glad of that tonight? Let me read it in another translation. Now all glory to God who is able to keep you from falling away, and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. Oh, that makes me want to shout. And then another translation. And now, all glory to him who alone is God, who saves us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, splendor and majesty, all power and authority are his from the beginning. His they are, and his they evermore shall be. Now like this, and he is able to keep you from slipping and falling away and to bring you sinless and perfect into his glorious presence with mighty shouts of everlasting joy. Somebody ought to give some mighty shouts of everlasting joy. Will you receive the benediction? Let me illustrate it this way. And this brings this scripture alive. Max Lucado tells in his book, 3:16, the Numbers of Hope, about Team Hoyt. That's the last name, Hoyt, H-O-Y-T. There's a video that I could have showed you tonight that would have touched your heart, but I didn't have time to get it. Team Hoyt consists of a father and a son, Dick and Rick Hoyt. They race. They race a lot. 64 marathons, 206 triathlons, 6 triathlons at the Ironman distance. They have done 204 10K runs. I'm giving out of breath just reading that. Since 1975, They've crossed nearly 1,000 finish lines. They are a team like none other. They've even crossed the USA in 45 days. Dick and Rick Hoyt. Team Hoyt loves to race, but only half of Team Hoyt can run. Dick, the dad, can run, but Rick's legs don't work, nor does his speech. You see, when Rick was born in 1962, the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck, causing brain damage. Rick's body didn't develop as it should have, but he was bright. In fact, he entered public school and graduated from college, Haley. He couldn't bathe, dress, or feed himself. But Rick wanted to run. At age 15, he asked his dad if they could enter a 5-mile benefit race. And Dick was not a runner, but he was a father. So he loaded his son in a 3-wheeled wheelchair, and off they went, and they've not stopped since. Young Rick Hoyt relies on his dad. Listen, here it is. Now to him to say, we'll present you faultless. Here's the illustration. Now, young Rick Hoyt relies on his dad to do it all. Lift him, push him, pedal him, tow him. Other than a willing heart, he makes no contribution to the effort. Rick depends entirely, listen, on the strength of his dad. And God wants you to do the same. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We bring to the spiritual race what Rick Hoyt brings to the physical. Our spiritual legs have no strength. Our morality has no muscle. Our good deeds cannot carry us across the finish line, but our Heavenly Father is able to present us faultless with exceeding great joy. And one of these days, I'm going to cross that finish line. And yes, I've put forth the very best I could, but when we look back, it'll be all God. If you believe it, say amen tonight. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. And finally, we can be assured in our daily walk, say amen. We can be assured that we're going to make the finish line in our future appointment, say amen. And we can be assured in our awesome Lord, say amen. All glory alone is the Lord's. All majesty, glory comes from doxa, which is to suggest dignity and honor. The doxology, majesty, comes from the word greatness. Dominion comes from the Greek word kratos, which means might, power. Power comes from exousia. Exousia refers to authority, both now and forever. Can you imagine when we've been through the test? And Brother Quentin, if you'll come and get ready to play something on the piano, we'll be fine. But can you imagine after all of the strife, after all of the stress, after all of the burdens, after all of the fighting of the devil, after all in this world, please understand we're fighting from victory, not for it. But there is coming that glorious day when we will finish that race line, when we will hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I want you to know we have the benediction of assurance. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't let the devil lie to you. Feed your faith, starve your doubts, because one of these days it's going to be worth it. We don't know when death will come, but we know that we will come to death. And we don't know that hour, but we know His grace. And we have assurance. I'm not tossing and turning, "Well, am I going to make it to heaven?" I know I'll make it to heaven because my Father is in me and working in me. And I know one day I'm going to a place called glory. And I want you to think about this in my closing to these benedictions. There was a song by a young man, and his dad abused him. His dad was abusive, and his mother died young and left him there, or left, I believe, maybe not died, but left. And he was there with his dad, and his dad had a lot of problems, and he took it out on his son. And the little boy started going to church. And one day he come home from church and his dad just threw a plate against his head. And he had to leave that home. But he had a talent. And God had given him an ability to sing. And he started singing in the church and singing in the youth group. And he put together a little band. And he didn't have a lot. And he traveled from place to place. And he had a lot of hurt in his life. A lot of pain in his life. But one day while he was traveling, he began to write down a song. He got to thinking about the pain and the hurt, but he got to thinking about heaven. And he got to thinking about what it's going to be like. And he wrote down the words that maybe you've heard this song before. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart see or feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or just in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah, or will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Will you receive the benediction? We can only imagine. Would you stand with me tonight? And I'm going to speak this over you tonight. Do you need assurance? Do you need reassurance? Do you need victory? Do you need healing? Do you need hope tonight? I'm here to tell you, receive the benediction tonight. Would you lift your hands up to the Lord tonight? Father, we can only imagine. We can only imagine. Oh, you're going to present us faultless before the Son of God. And we're going to sing and shout forever. Lord, thank you for the preservation of the saints. Thank you for the operation of God. Now, Lord, tonight, give us the cooperation of a Christian sanctified life. Oh, God, we receive the benediction. Brother Blue, if you could put that back up one more time. Because I want you to stretch your hands this way. In fact, I want you to step out of your seat and come down to the front. Let's close in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I know that some of us have been tested. I know that some of us have been tried. I know that some of us have been weary. I know that some of us have had some trials. But now unto Him that is able to keep us from falling. And Lord, thank you for the benediction of favor. Thank you, Lord, for the benediction of grace. Thank you for the benediction of peace. Thank you for the benediction of empowerment. Thank you for the benediction of hope. Thank you for the benediction of the Trinity. Thank you, Lord, for the benediction of integrity. And tonight, the benediction of assurance. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. And we glorify your holy name tonight. My brother, we want to sing something real quick for us. Let's worship as Brother Quentin, and then we're going to speak the benediction tonight. We're beyond blessed.
Another day.
Come on.
Lord has kept me.
Yes, come on.
Another day. The Lord.
Come on.
Has kept me.
Woo!
He has kept me from all evil. Kept my mind stayed on Jesus.
Come on, sing it.
Another day.
Another day.
The Lord has kept me. Another day,
another day,
the Lord has kept me.
Yes, He has.
Another day, the Lord has kept me.
Has He kept you tonight?
He has kept me.
Oh, yes, He has.
My mind.
Come on.
Laid on Jesus.
Yeah.
Another day.
Another day.
The Lord.
Amen.
The Lord has kept me.